Welcome to Wednesday morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you here as we open up phone lines and text lines for you on a variety of different topics. We just had Warren Kinsella on and talked about federal politics and predominantly Mark Carney's cabinet shuffle. Warren Kinsella saying it was more than a shuffle. It was lots of brand new fresh faces in there that we haven't seen before. And a few repeats, and I don't even know. I'm not going to apologize, but I did get down a bit of a wormhole yesterday on the whole Stephen Guilbeau thing. I was so frustrated. Could you tell? when I look at the TV and I see that first line, like the front bench, if you will call it that, of the cabinet, those ones, Dominic LeBlanc was getting put into a position. We knew that would happen. Francois Champagne, we saw Melanie Joly. I mean, yeah, all of those you expected. I didn't expect to see Stephen Guilbeau in there. I honestly thought, you know, Mark Carney says he's different than Trudeau. He's going to chart a different path. And a lot of that, of course, eyes are squarely focused on how much climate policy will make its way, because climate policy and energy are almost like two magnets that can't stick together, right? They're, you know how you'll get magnets that will stick together, but if you flip them over, they oppose one another. Those two things really have played that way in our country. And so when we saw Stephen Guilbeau get appointed to, even though it wasn't the environment portfolio, many would point out that taking that Minister of Canadian Identity and Culture, which he will be responsible for Parks Canada as an example. And even that, in a recent interview, he said, and I'm talking recent as of yesterday, he essentially said that he still will have one foot, if you will, in the environment portfolio. I'm actually just looking for it here, because when they talked about the fact that he was appointed into this spot, he essentially said this spot was custom made for me, because they know here. Stephen Guilbeau, former Environment and Climate Change Minister, retains his role as Minister of Heritage, now rebranded as Canadian Identity and Culture. He told the Canadian press he will keep a foot in the environment file, adding, "The reality is we will have two environment ministers around the cabinet table." Stephen Guilbeau says, "I'm still the minister responsible for nature, biodiversity, and Parks Canada. The prime minister and his team have worked hard to basically tailor make something for me." That didn't cool my jets when I saw that interview yesterday. Now, having said that, there were some appointments that I think maybe have set us and pushed us in a better direction. Tim Hodgson, we talked about this with Warren Kinsella. Tim Hodgson as the Minister of Energy and Natural Resources. That's something that many people are saying is applaudable. And I'm talking many people in the West. The Business Council of Alberta came out and say Tim Hodgson has real life experience with Alberta's energy sector that will give him a leg up, if you will, on this whole argument. He's seen firsthand the challenging policy environment that the federal government has put in place for the last 10 years. Tim Hodgson previously sat on the board of Calgary-based oil sands producer Meg Energy. So there's a lot of people saying that was not a bad appointment. What do you think? Was there some good news in the cabinet announcements yesterday? Did you see some things that you think this is good? Or are you looking at it and say, too early to say we're going to have to see how this shakes out? Or are you just putting your hand up saying, no, this was no good? And maybe the follow-up question, because this has been a big one. And I went back and forth on text and social media yesterday with some people on the notion of will the new leader make positive changes to impact the relationship with the West? Because we know, and people were saying to me, come on, Evan, if you follow sports at all, you know a coach can make all the difference in the world. You can keep the same players. People pointed to a few different teams as examples. You can keep the same players, bring in a new coach, and all of a sudden the players play better for the new leader. So, yeah, thanks for pointing it out. As a dedicated and diehard New York Islander fan, I will also tell you we sucked a couple years ago. We brought Patrick Waugh in as a coach, and we continue to suck. And we didn't change much in terms of the bench strength and the players on the bench. So it doesn't always work that way, and I'm looking at it through the lens of the relationship with Western Canada. So what do you think? Good news in the shuffle, bad news in the cabinet shuffle, and will the new leader, Mark Carney, be able to make some positive changes in terms of the relationship with the West? 1-877-332-8255. Carney talked after the cabinet shuffle yesterday about what he felt his mandate was.
We will govern as a cabinet constructively and collaboratively, working with caucus and across parties in Parliament to deliver the change that Canadians want and desire. Our new government will be a strong and reliable partner to the provinces, the territories, and to Indigenous peoples. We will reinforce bridges across labor, business, and civil society. And together, we will advance the nation-building investments that will support the core mission of this government, which is to create the strongest economy in the G7, an economy that works for everyone.
Now, Pierre Poilievre held his own news conference yesterday and provided some reaction, and I would say he wasn't exactly flattering when he was talking and reflecting on Carney's cabinet choices.
Mr. Carney talked a good game about reversing Liberal policies in these areas, but now we have to find out if he was serious. And so far, it's not a promising start. The first disappointment is, unfortunately, his cabinet. He appointed Trudeau's old team and Trudeau's old advisors. Stephen Guilbeau, whose radical green agenda would shut down all future developments in our resource industry, is still the minister responsible for Quebec. Sean Fraser is the immigration minister. Was the immigration minister who caused the immigration crisis, the housing minister who gave us the housing crisis, and now he's the minister responsible for addressing the Liberal crime crisis. It seems like he is the master at failing upward. Chrystia Freeland, who as finance minister hiked capital gains tax and carbon taxes and massively grew our debt to the point where we now spend $1 billion a week on interest, stays in the cabinet. Then there's Gary Anadisangeri, the new minister of public safety, who said the actual crimes, the actual issues around bail are quite sound, and they are embedded in, codified in law right now, as in to say that there's nothing wrong with the system. Well, in fact, there's everything wrong, as we see from the growing crime wave on our streets. Then there's François-Philippe Champagne, Trudeau's minister of everything, who never really managed to do anything.
So, what do you think? 1-877-332-8255. Do you have good thoughts, bad thoughts? Yeah. Tom in Regina, be careful about the new coach bump. When teams do well for a few weeks, they return to what they were under the previous coach eventually. Thanks, Tom. 1-877-332-8255. Conspiracy Kevin with a text this morning. Carney has been the Trudeau and Liberals economic and policy advisor for the last several years. He was a powerful influence in the illegal use of the Emergencies Act and the freezing of bank accounts. Anybody believe the idea that Mark Carney is different is simply ridiculous. Lots of analogies coming through, lipstick on a pig, that kind of stuff, saying it doesn't change anything. Jerry in Saskatoon, Carney's speeches mean nothing. Actions speak louder than words. Jerry, I think your point is well taken, and it's one that many people, will agree with. In fact, when we had the premier on, Scott Moe said, you know, it sounds positive, some of the things we're hearing. However, it's when pen is put to paper and policies start to change and barriers come down that the federal government have put up and constructed over the last number of years when we will actually believe that change is happening. 1-877-332-8255. Your thoughts. Will Mark Carney make the positive changes to impact the relationship with the West? What do you think? Let's go to Paul in Regina. Thanks for calling in, Paul. Good morning. What do you think? Will we see some change under Carney?
No, won't see no change. And what I'm really ticked off about is I listened earlier this morning to this Warren Kinsella talking to you, and he stated the carbon tax is gone. Well, that's misleading the public, and you on the show should be correcting him. that the carbon tax is not gone. It's been wound down to zero.
Right.
So that we've
talked just in fairness, Paul, I have corrected and we've talked about that so many times. You are right. It's not gone. It's still part of legislation. But anyway, keep going. I see your point is well taken.
Okay. And here's other stuff that people should be talking about. You talk about great Canada, how what a great country, and this I'm going to challenge all the CTV reporters, especially this Vassy lady. Instead of attacking the Pierre Polyev and the Conservatives, why don't they start talking about these are actual things? Why don't they start talking about the two-year wait in Saskatchewan for the mine up north? Saskatchewan has approved it, and it's been waiting for 2 years approval. Here's another one that you don't hear of anybody in the media. How about someone talk about the Honda Canada postpones a $15 billion EV investment project in Ontario?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the $7 billion PowerCo EV battery plant in St. Thomas postponed due to heavy winds. Mm-hmm. How about the big one no one's talking about in this country? Honda's four factory EV supply chain in Ontario canceled. How about the Northvolt battery factory went bankrupt in Ontario? How about the GM Ingersoll laying off workers? Stellantis halted production. Umicore factory suspended. Ford EcoPro canceled. And everybody can all talk about how great this country is, how much investment is coming in this country. Why don't people look south and start opening their eyes and say, do people realize how many billions of dollars are being invested in the United States? And no one's investing in this country.
The point that Paul is making is well taken, that we ultimately need to make sure that we do things that incentivize investment. What we can do to incentivize investment in our country is an important thing. So what do we need to do that? Well, reduce the interprovincial trade barriers, find ways that we can incentivize people to invest. And we know the best way to incentivize investment in our country is done through stability. We need to be able to find stability. And so as a result of that, we need a government that will focus on that. And we thank you for the call. Wednesday morning, open lines already flowing with comments. So lots of people on the text line. I got a text here from Brian in Saskatoon. Said, if I had to pick between a Canadian team winning the Stanley Cup or Polyev being in the House of Commons to question Mark Carney, I pick Pierre in the House of Commons. Brian, thanks so much. Bryn, who texts in regularly to the show, says, having a new coach can definitely change a team, but Carney should have cleaned house and distanced himself from the mistakes and flawed policies of the past. Instead, he picked so many of the same people that Trudeau had. Having Guilbeault in his cabinet does not bode well to me, especially because Guilbeault is an extremist, period. Carney must understand what putting him in the cabinet signals to everyone. If he doesn't, well, maybe he's not as smart as people say. 1-877-332-8255. Sheldon from Estevan reminding us, we all know Quebec will be the first province to disrupt interprovincial trade. They're already making stirring comments about pipelines for sure. So Sheldon, you're probably on the right path there. Okay, let's go to Perry in Osler. Perry, thanks for calling in. You say you don't want Mark Carney to touch the oil industry.
Yeah, because I remember a long time ago, they would like to nationalize the oil industry. They'd like to control it all, own every pipeline, and yeah.
But status quo is not working either, Perry, so where do we need to get to?
We need an electoral college so that we have equal representation in the West as in the East, and that'll all call everybody out on their true intentions.
Well, sorry. I was just going to jump in and say, I mean, some sort of reform, parliamentary reform is definitely high on people's list. We're not seeing that in the near future, and we can't wait 4 years, 8 years, 10 years, whatever it's going to be. I mean, we need to get something moving. And people in the West and certainly in the energy industry will say we need the removal of some of the restrictions, some of the barriers, some of the policies that are absolutely grinding the industry to a halt, disrupting investment. And what does that look like? And how do we need the feds to be involved in that? Okay, let's go to Greg in Saskatoon. Greg, thanks for calling in. What are some things you hope to see and maybe will signal a change coming from the feds?
Well, you know, he's done good things, and he did change the cabinet. Did he change it totally? No, but he did make some changes. And okay, that's one move. He's going to have the meeting here in Saskatoon. He's making efforts there. How about this tariff thing with China?
Mm-hmm.
Let's attack that. You know, if he could get away or get rid of it, that would be great. Maybe even knock it in half, you know, and help us in one way. That would show that he is doing something for the West.
Even just the point of focusing on it, Greg, right? Letting us know he's making it a priority.
Mention it once in a while and say, you know, we're looking into it. Something, you know. Another point I have, I was telling Frank there, the way they changed the national anthem, that just infuriates me. Like, I don't understand why they would go and do that. In all our sons command, mm-hmm. like that's how I sing it.
Right.
In all thy sons command, whenever it's on, when I'm watching my hockey games, mm-hmm. go Leafs go, by the way.
thanks for working that
in, Greg. Watching my hockey games, when that comes on, I sing in all my son's command, because that's the way it should be.
You know, it's funny how you listen to the passion in Greg's voice on certain topics, and that's the things. It can be big changes by the feds, it can be subtle changes, but each one will strike a chord differently with each of us. 1-877-332-8255. On Vashi yesterday, Carney said that we can have it all, oil, gas, pipelines, and carbon reduction. How is he going to make that happen, and with whose money? Investors have many other opportunities that don't involve a big drag on profits, like virtue signaling. He's here to repair the tarnished reputation regarding the climate cartel failure. Thanks for the text. Have we heard anything about the Prime Minister's press conferences on tariffs? Regarding canola in the West, Dean bringing up the same point that Greg just talked about. Haven't heard one thing about it. Lots about auto industry in Ontario, but nothing about the West. These all points that people are pointing to. Hey, I hope Brett can hang on. I want to get to his call. I hope to get it to him there, but we will take his call first after the break. He's got a bit of an analogy from a coach's standpoint. Does changing the coach mean that the team performs better? That's where we'll go with our chat, and Brett will join the conversation next. Welcome back to Open Lines. Text line is open for you, 1-877-332-8255. And that same number will get you through on the phone line if you wanted to join the conversation. We have listeners that will join us not only from all over the province, but outside of the province as well, including friends in Alberta like Rick, who almost on a daily basis joins the conversation with a text. He says, Evan, I don't know if Carney doesn't rescind bills C-69 and C-48, which during the campaign he said he would not, and related things like emission caps and industrial carbon tax, how will things change in the West? So this is the whole, what he says and what he does, how do those things interplay? And the proof will be when pen goes to paper and things change. The carbon tax is a good example. We had a caller earlier this morning wanting to make sure people understand that while the carbon tax has been turned down to zero right now, it still actually remains on the books. This is the consumer portion of the carbon tax. So if you see this Liberal government say we're removing it completely so it can't be just simply with the stroke of a pen turned back on again, that's a step. That's an example of a step in the right direction. Sean in Weyburn says, With regard to the cabinet, if Guilbeault, Freeland, and Joly are still in, I'm doubtful this will be the change that we need. So I use the analogy of a new coach with a sports team, because some people will say there's lots of examples where a team has struggled. They bring in a new coach. Some point to Berube and what's going on in Toronto this year. Is it wasn't a big change in the players, but there was a change behind the bench, and that was the spark that they needed to move things in the right direction. Fred is on the phone from Regina, who's got a caution for us, don't you, Fred?
I do. Back in the day, Drew Remenda was on the Green Zone, and he had a phrase I just loved: the dead cat bounce.
Right.
Meaning, you know, you get a little bit of a push when a new coach gets in there, but again, the cat's dead. And with these ministers that are in there, some of them in the same portfolio, some different, I just think of the Who. Meet the old boss, same as the new boss. Unfortunately, we did get fooled again. That was my first point. The second point, it's got nothing to do with the cabinet. It's got to do with down in the States, the jet.
Yeah.
Evan, you were a municipal employee, as am I. You know, a conflict of interest guideline. We can't even accept a hat off a company.
Yeah.
And that. It's frowned. So how does the President of the United States accept a $400 million airplane? I don't see it flying. No pun intended, but, it is what it is. I can't see it happening.
Fred, I completely agree. And you know, I see there's lots of people pushing back on the text line on me saying, like, Evan, calm down. It's not a gift to Donald Trump himself. It's a gift to the government of the United States. Here's all of the things. And Fred just pointed it out. And I mean, it's small potatoes compared to the President of the United States and the government of the United States. But the Regina Police Service was never in a position. We had companies that would step up and say, we would be happy to provide you with what? Pick a vehicle for use for traffic enforcement. We weren't in a position to say yes to that because of the perception that if this dealership was giving us a gift, something that we could use to keep the community safe, that it could be perceived as a conflict of interest. It could be perceived that there is something expected in return. So you do me a favor, I have to do you a favor. And so we were always super careful about that. So there's that side of this. There's the side that Warren Kinsella brought forward, which is, you know, there is documented evidence that Qatar is part of the funding that goes to different terrorist organizations like Hamas. So you've got Israeli supporters up in arms about potentially accepting this gift from Qatar, $400 million plane from a country, a government, a royal family that has ties to funding terrorism. But even from a security standpoint, so take all of the political stuff aside, take the conflict of interest aside, just from a security standpoint, think about what they have to do to make sure that locations are secure for the President of the United States, that there's no bugged devices there, there's no tracking devices on vehicles. How in the heck do you even start to sweep a huge flying luxury palace of the sky worth $400 million? How do you do that? What does that look like? Now, Donald Trump just this week basically said he'd be a stupid person to say no to the gift.
I think that was a very nice gesture. Now, I could be a stupid person to say, oh, no, we don't want a free plane. We give free things out. We'll take one, too. And it helps us out because, again, we're talking about we have 40-year-old aircraft. The money we spend, the maintenance we spend on those planes to keep them tippy-top is astronomical. You wouldn't even believe it. So I think it's a great gesture from Qatar. I appreciate it very much. I would never be one to turn down that kind of an offer. I mean, I could be a stupid person, say, no, we don't want a free, very expensive airplane. But it was, I thought it was a great gesture. And I think it was a gesture because of the fact that we have helped and continue to, we will continue to, all of those countries, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, and others. We keep them safe. If it wasn't for us, they probably wouldn't exist right now. And I think this was just a gesture of good faith. And I don't get it. Someday it'll be like Ronald Reagan. They decommission them. You know, they get to a certain age, they decommission them. It'll go to my library. They're talking about going to my library.
Mr. President, what did you say?
So that was the conversation in a media scrum that Donald Trump did this past week. But like I say, there are a lot of people that are saying this shouldn't be a problem. Others, like John in Assiniboia, says the Qatar deal stinks to high heaven. He's got lots of reasons why. Qatar bailed out Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, for over $1 billion. Yeah, a few different examples that John brings in here that why there's reason for concern for this. Now, lots of people still weighing in on the Mark Carney cabinet, so we've kind of got two different topics going here, which is fine. You want to give us your thoughts on the Trump administration, the government of the United States accepting the gift of the plane from Qatar. Happy to hear that, but also happy to hear your thoughts on cabinet. Let's go to Cal in Oxbow. Cal, thanks for calling in. You got some concerns about the cabinet?
Good morning, Kevin. Or, sorry, good morning, Evan.
That's all right.
Yes, I do. But I, it's funny, I'm going to combine the two topics that have been going on right now, and I think I'll be able, I think it'll make sense to everyone. So first of all, I'm not a big fan of the Tim Hodgson appointment. I mean, yes, he's connected to the oil sands, but he's been involved in this Mark Carney corporate globalist elitist thing for a long time. I don't have any confidence, and plus he's got Gibo in his ear all the time. So that, I don't think that helps us a whole lot. Now, where I'm going to pivot on that is that I just think anyone who's a Trump supporter, this plane thing drives us crazy because, of course, he can't accept something like this. It's a huge conflict of interest. And he continues, oh, it's a nice gesture. It's, I mean, these things drive us crazy. But on the other hand, then, if we talk about some of the good things he does, so, for example, Trump just appointed that David Sachs, who is a venture capitalist. This guy sold over $200 million worth of securities to remove himself from conflicts of interest so that he could become the crypto AI czar. Now, that point leads me into Mark Carney. This is where it's hard to take Mark Carney seriously because one of his appointments, which most people won't pay attention to, is this Evan Solomon that he appointed to be the AI and digital innovation guy.
Right.
Now, this guy was fired from the CBC because he was doing secret art deals and getting kickbacks on the commissions. And one of those art deals was to Mark Carney,
right,
who is now his boss.
You're
now,
right,
this guy is in charge. And so starts to make me wonder, I mean, corruption, is it alive and well in Mark Carney's cabinet?
It's you know, it's interesting. I actually just had this conversation with Taylor McPherson in the newsroom this morning about the art deals of Evan Solomon and what that might look like here. You know, it's, here's my thing about the Minister of Artificial Intelligence and Digital Innovation. There's room for work to be done when it comes to digital innovation and AI. Is it the federal government that should be doing that work? Maybe they have a role to play in it, but is Evan Solomon the right person? If you think about who they put in these positions, typically you would think it would be someone who has a background in digital innovation, for example, and there's got to be choices there. So I have a circle around the name Evan Solomon as that minister because of number one, what are the credentials that make him the right guy for that? And then the point that Cal just made, which many people are echoing, which is, you know, some of these art deals, which were shady at best, illegal at worst, and what that might mean for this relationship. Does that cause people to scratch their head and say, hey, something stinks here? 1-877-332-8255. Let's take our last break. Open lines will continue right up until 10 o'clock, so lots of time to give us a shout or shoot us a text and join the conversation here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Yeah.
open lines where you join the conversation. I had someone calling in earlier, I think it was Greg, who called in about some frustrations with the Liberal government and some of the things they've done. One of the things that he talked about was changes to the words in the national anthem. He didn't like the fact that they took out "All Thy Sons Command." Lorna from White City says to Greg, in the national anthem conversation, you'd feel differently if you were a woman. Lorna says, I am a conservative supporter. However, the Redneck Boys Club attitude infuriates me. A few people pointing out, actually, after that came out in the conversation, that there have been multiple adaptations and changes to the words of the national anthem through the years. But conversation nonetheless. Doug in Arcola says the biggest problem with the cabinet is the prime minister. He is not a fan of Mark Carney, and he talks about that in this text message. He says, this is Doug in Arcola, while Moe is taking, just talking about Scott Moe, the conciliatory approach to the Liberals and taking a wait-and-see attitude, Saskatchewan is just distancing themselves from Alberta. Scott Moe should get off his duff and be lockstep with Premier Smith. She is trying to make the best for her province and the long term for her brainwashed residents. Yesterday, I don't know if you caught this, during Pierre Poilievre's news conference, he talked about his roots in Alberta and acknowledged this notion of separation and how this topic is bubbling around, gave some thoughts on that.
Look, I'm against separation. I'm a born and raised Albertan. I love Canada. I think we need to unite this country. Albertans have a lot of legitimate grievances. I mean, let's be blunt. Canada's biggest industry, which happens to largely be situated in Alberta, has been under attack for the last decade.
That was Pierre Poilievre and his discussion about basically what has been happening in Alberta. But as you heard him say, and you've heard many leaders say, they're not about separation. They're about finding ways to work together and ultimately unite this country. Is Mark Carney the guy that's going to be able to do it? We've got the meeting set up in Saskatoon on June 2nd. So this is a meeting with the premiers from across the country. Typically would happen in Ottawa. He has chosen to host this in Saskatchewan. And I give Scott Moe credit for that because he, of course, threw out the invitation to have Mark Carney come to Saskatchewan and have a meeting. And no doubt the provincial leader, Scott Moe, will want to have a one-on-one, face-to-face with Carney while he's in the province. So that maybe is a step in the right direction. James Saskatoon calling in. Thanks for calling, James. Your thought on the cabinet appointments from yesterday and what this looks like going forward.
So I think the direction that Scott Moe is going with Mark Carney, the new prime minister, is a prudent direction. I'm a very proud Westerner, as I'm sure you're well aware, Evan.
Yep.
And to this, I think the interview that we saw with Vashi Capello and Mark Carney had great insight.
It yesterday. Really you're did. Talking about the one yesterday, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And to me, that left me a lot of hope because I see somebody from the Goldman Sachs background that is going to get stuff done and knows the importance of energy to the Western economy. And I think that's the thing. We were vilified in the last go-round in the dark years of the Trudeau era. We were vilified for being energy producers. And I do not think that that will be the case. I think there's an evolution to how we produce energy. And I look forward to how these next steps move forward. But I do see there being an opportunity to be positive in how Canada truly can grow. And like I said, I have had a great opportunity to talk about my frustrations in the past. And they are there and they are real. But in the same token, I think the new prime minister, this man, needs to be able to prove himself first.
Well, they're coming back together at the end of the month. We've got the speech from the throne coming up. So there's going to be a few more tests, I would suggest, James, that will give us a chance to evaluate if he can put his money where his mouth is.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And I think that we are in front and center in the minds of Ottawa for the first time in a long time.
Well, we'll see. James, You've been on this show many times. You've made predictions many times. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes we'll see. We'll see if you're right here, and we'll continue, of course, to follow along. I love the fact that we can have this conversation on a daily basis and very much value all of the contributions that we get to understanding, digesting, and hopefully even influencing and moving forward what this will look like for our province going forward. Speaking of our province, we've got the Minister of Justice stopping by. Tim McLeod will be here just after 10. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.